Hello and hi. Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and this week saw the debut of Legion on FX, a show that many of us Marvel mutant fans have been waiting for. And my guest today is Amber Midthunder, who's a regular on the show. She plays Carrie Loudermilk. I think it would be best if Amber tells us what her role is in helping David Haller understand the extent of his powers. Welcome to the show, Amber.
Goodness, thank you. That's about all I can say so far. No, Carrie Loudermilk, she is a part of Melanie Bird / Jean Smart's team of specialists. And you saw at the end of episode one, for anybody who saw it, that he gets kind of taken under their wing a little bit and introduces him to, you know, this new world of possibilities.
Excellent. So what, without going into spoilers or anything that will get you in trouble, what is Carrie's role in all this?
Can't say too much about that part. She's, you know, that's kind of it. She's part of Melanie's group. And the interesting thing about the show is that, you know, you see superheroes in a really different light than you normally see them. Which is that they struggle. You know, I think a lot of times you don't necessarily get to see superheroes really struggling as just people. And in our show, they do. And so Carrie is part of that, you know, grounded world of superheroes, and that's been a lot of fun.
Was that what drew you to the role, was just having a different take on superheroes, something you were really interested in?
Everything about this drew me to it. when it first came to me, I didn't know much about that. When it first came to me, I had like 3 pages of dialogue between Carrie and I don't even know who, somebody else. We didn't ever shoot it. It was just written for her. And I knew that it was Noah Hawley, who was the show creator and the showrunner, and I knew that it was a Marvel property. And reading it, it was just so, Noah's writing is so beautiful and it's so rich. And it reads with the detail and just, I don't know, the language of a novel. You know, he's a novelist, so that makes sense. But it just reads so beautifully. And then to know that it was Marvel, I love what Marvel does in their television and in their movies. And that was just, like, that was enough for me.
So you're a big Marvel fan?
Yes. I'm not as familiar with all of the comics, but definitely, like, any time Marvel makes a movie, I watch it. All the Marvel shows I've seen.
So after you landed this role, did you go out and peek a little bit at any of the Legion comics, or did you stay away and want to be surprised?
I did look at some of them, just so that I would be familiar, because, you know, you just want to know that stuff when you're a part of it. You know, people take it, just like fans of comics take it so, they just care so much that, you know, I wanted to be educated on it. But that's kind of the cool thing, is that our show is very much like it's a different story from any of the comics. So it's not like, you know, issues 1 through 9 and that's the whole show. It's like that character in another, in his own story.
Cool. Now, there is a promotional photo of you in a rather badass looking karate pose. Now, does Carrie get down and dirty in this, or can you say yet?
Yes, for sure. That's her thing. That's what's cool about her, is like she's the muscle of the group. I feel comfortable saying that because that was in episode one. But yeah, like she's totally, when there are people who need to get beat up, she's the beater upper.
So she's the enforcer.
Yeah, she's definitely the muscle.
Now, did you have to do any extra training, or was this already in your wheelhouse?
Well, they never asked me to, but I did just so that I would feel comfortable and, like, well-equipped to play the role. I did, like, when I was a kid, I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I always, like, because I grew up, like, in an MMA gym, so that was that was familiar to me. And I have older brothers, so just the general idea of, like, being a tough girl is not too far from anything that I've experienced.
Yes.
But between, like, before the pilot and then between the pilot and the series, I started actually seriously training in kickboxing and, you know, stuff like that. And I think that helps with the mental space, you know, to use your body like that and to feel what it's like to be someone who is so comfortable that way.
So what else, without giving away any spoilers, what else is in Carrie's path that you're actually looking forward to doing?
There are two Carrie Loudermilks on the show.
Yes.
That is not a coincidence. That's all I can say about that.
Oh.
That's a tease. But that when that gets discovered, that's the interesting part.
I hate having to dance around everything, but we want to keep everybody. Yeah, we want to keep everybody interested and excited about the show. Now, after it premiered, were you on social media? Were you interacting with the people who had seen it?
I mean, I didn't, like, live tweet or anything like that. Katie and Dan both did that. But I was lurking in the shadows of I was to try and see, because it's so, you know, like, it's so crazy that it's out in the world now. Like, we shot for, you know, 3.5 months in Vancouver, which is, you know, like, I don't know, it's just kind of, it's, you know, not in America, so none of us were home, and it was kind of all together, and none of us can talk about what we were doing, so it was really just, like, a team effort. And so it just became this really, like, really intimate environment. And so then to have everyone see it is like, oh, it's not a secret. Like, it's not so secret anymore. And that's just, it's like, very surreal and very exciting.
Now, are you looking forward to interacting with the fans more? Maybe live tweeting part of an episode or giving live commentary on an upcoming fight that Carrie has, just to tease the fans a little bit?
Oh, I'm very excited. Yeah, I don't really have a Twitter. Live tweeting's not really, like, something I do. But that's so much of the fun of being on a show like this, is hearing what everyone has to say about it. Because we did, while we were shooting, actually, we did New York Comic Con. And that was the first time that we got to interact with anybody who had an awareness of our show outside of our group or outside of the industry. And that was, like, that was the exciting part, was to see the people who really believe in this character and who want to know this world. And that's, like, that's what we're doing it for, to me, you know, it's these people who are invested in what we're doing. And that's, you know, like, that's where you get that you want to make it so rich. And so to interact with that is just, that's really fun.
Now, was that your first time going to a big convention like that, or had you been part of that tour before?
That was the first time that I went.
And how was it? I mean, did you get to like really interact with the fans and see what they're looking for from this show?
It was very, it was much less overwhelming than I had imagined, just because everyone was so like, oh, watch out, like Comic-Con's really going to be crazy. And so I think I went in thinking, like, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be like a tsunami of people. And then it was, like, actually very, it was, like, busy. We were busy, and there were people, but it wasn't so chaotic, which was really nice, because I think there was never a time that, like, I think any of us got our breath taken away from us. We're all so very, you know, capable. And then it was also a weird time, because that was kind of the first time that we ever, that was the first time that we ever came out, like, as a group to represent our show. And nobody, like, nobody really asked us any questions as the actors, which was kind of cool because we couldn't say anything anyway. Like, that's something that I really appreciate about comic book fans is that they're not, like, they're not messing around. You know, they're, like, very serious about the material that being given. And so they had a lot of questions, like, for Noah and for Lauren Shuler Donner, who's a producer on our show, and for Jeff Loeb. And that was also kind of helpful, I think, to us probably to hear our executive answers.
Yeah, that's one of the things I have been appreciative of over, it's 10 years now since the first Iron Man came out. I grew up a Marvel girl, and Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Iron Man, those were my heroes, and X-Men was at the top of that, and I'm glad we are expanding the Marvel Mutant Universe, because the last X-Men movie kind of made me sad, but that's a different story. But I'm looking forward to Legion, to seeing what they do with David Haller's journey and the people he interacts with to help him get there. So I'm looking forward to watching the rest of this and seeing how you guys bring that part of the Marvel Universe to life. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, are you guys doing any future conventions? I know San Diego Comic-Con is on a lot of people's radar, but that's the crazy one.
That's what I've heard. I don't know yet. That's kind of the funny thing about this is that I think people imagine that we have more information than we do, but even like when we did New York Comic-Con, I was saying that it was really good to hear the executive's answers to the fan questions, like, because I think those were questions that we also had that we didn't necessarily ask, you know? So it was, like, to hear that and to get that information to us is interesting, too. Because it's not, like, cause we didn't go in with a bunch of information at all. Like, we went in, when we shot the pilot, all we had was the pilot script. And then when we went back to shoot the series, we only had episodes 2 and 3. So we had no forewarning as to where the series was going to go, really, you know, and to where our characters were going or anything like that. So that's kind of something that unfolds to all of us, including like on the technical side of if we're doing San Diego Comic-Con, like, we don't know. I don't know. Someone else probably knows.
So have you guys had questions on the set where you're looking at it go, okay, hang on, what is going on here again?
Absolutely, yeah. It was kind of fun that way, though, too, because, you know, we would all get the script, and it was, like, a big thing. Like, we would all, like, you know, if one came out on set, we would all, like, see each other and be like, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? Okay. And then everybody would, like, go in their trailers and read it. Or if we were, you know, like, at home over the weekend, it would be, like, a conversation point. Like, have you read it yet? No, I can't. Like, I can't handle reading that right now. Or, like, yeah, I skimmed it once, but I have to go back. Like, I can't talk about it yet. Or and then after we would read it, we'd be like, okay, let's talk about this. Or it would be like, I can't, you know, but yeah, it was definitely a conversation piece among the group.
Well, it sounds like you are having a lot of fun with this show, which to me is a good sign, because that means the show is going to be fun and engaging. So thank you for that.
It is very engaging.
Well, Amber, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
It's Amber Midthunder, who plays Carrie Loudermilk on FX's new series Legion, airing Wednesday nights. I'm not sure the time because there's this whole time zone thing, but we'll have links to it. Go check it out. You will not be disappointed, because, hey, it's Marvel. Right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
Well, you could probably tell during that interview with Amber that I was starting to get a little bit under the weather. I sound better now, but a couple days ago, I had a low-grade fever, and I sounded like Kathleen Turner after two packs of cigarettes and an entire bottle of bourbon. I sounded really rough, is what I'm saying, yeah. And all I'm going to say is what I sounded like sounded worse than my imitation of it right now. getting better, though. But this show, Legion, is... The first episode has already been amazing. I hadn't seen it yet when I was interviewing Amber, but the first episode was available for free, a free download from iTunes the first couple days, I believe. And I can't wait to see what else they do with this, where they go with this. This show, I don't know. This show, I hope, maybe can revive my belief in what Fox can do with the X-Men movies. Now, that said, it looks like they're doing Old Man Logan pretty solid. But then again, it's Wolverine. If you mess Wolverine up, the hordes of fans will cry out as one. And there will be no forgiveness for that. So, we'll see where Legion goes. We'll see if that leads to more television-based Marvel Mutant action from Fox, so we'll see. I reserve judgment until the entire product is in, most of the time. But if you've seen Legion, let us know what you think of it so far. Are you going to keep watching? What are you looking forward to? What do you hope they do from the series? Now, full disclosure, I never read the series. There's a long, convoluted reason why, but I always found that the character of Legion was interesting. I did not like the artwork back then. The early Bill Sienkiewicz artwork when he started working on the New Mutants, and then when I absolutely hated it. Call me out on it, if you will. I hated that artwork. I absolutely despised it. Okay, little clarification. What was her name? Danny? I think her name was Danny. Yes, I'm pretty sure her name was Danny. The Demon Bear issue, that artwork was cool. But later on, like probably five issues later, there was this abstract style to everything that would have made Picasso and Dali jealous. And I didn't like it in my comics. I can't describe it any other way. The way he drew Warlock, I did not enjoy. Later on, Elektra, you have to remember, was one of my touch point characters. I loved the run they had in Daredevil. Very complex character. Also, complete badass. And when he moved on to Elektra Assassin, I actually did not get it simply because it was his artwork. I don't think I read Elektra Assassin until maybe 10 years after it originally came out. I was unthrilled, I guess is the best way to describe it. Now, I haven't followed comics in quite some time. I don't know if his artwork style changed. I don't know if he was experimenting with techniques back then. I just didn't like, and you can look at some of the covers. I think it was the New Mutants, all of the issues in the 20s. I remember that. And I did not like that style of artwork for that title. I don't know. I would like to hear other people who read those titles at the time, those issues at the time, and people who came to it later. I'm willing to entertain a discussion. It very, very likely won't change my mind about that style of art for that storyline, for those issues back then. Maybe you have a suggestion for something new or newer to read where his artwork does fit better with the story. If that's the case, you know what to do. Call in. The number is 602-635-6976. And tell me what Bill Sienkiewicz artwork I should be looking at, which titles, which issues, which art I should be looking at. Or send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Feel free to leave me a dissertation on whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. And then we can continue that discussion either on social media or on the websites. You can listen to the show through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. If you are subscribed through iTunes or through Stitcher, leave us a review. Every review helps. Newer reviews, letting people know that, yeah, the show is still here for people to enjoy. Check it out. The reviews and the ratings do help. The more reviews, the more ratings you get, the more attention, the more love you get from the iTunes store. And that always does everybody a little bit of good. A little bit of iTunes joy never hurt, right? You can check us out on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Google+ and YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, we have the websites. SliceOfSciFi.com, SliceOfSciFi.tv, PopCultureGeeks.com, WritersAfterDark.com. And yeah, I know, I keep teasing it. We have something new coming along. It's just going a little bit slower because there are some other changes in life situations that are kind of messing with scheduling. That's all I'm going to say, scheduling. Thank you, everyone, for your donations and your pledges through Patreon. Your support does help keep things going around here. Keeps the servers with the websites up and running. Keeps the media accounts where the shows are hosted up and running. So thank you, everyone. If you are inclined or encouraged to also pledge your support, head on over to patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Read all about it and add your support in with everyone else. Like I said, every bit that you pledge to support here does go to keep this stuff online. So thank you. Also thank you to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for their musical contribution to the show, and the theme music, I think, was an awesome job that they did. If you're interested in more music by them, you can check their website out, sci-fried.com. And if you head over to sliceofscifi.com, you can actually see the video for their latest single, The Boss. It's a tribute to gamers who have ever had to rage quit because the boss level beat them. You will be amused by it. You'll be entertained by it. Trust me. Trust me, it's fun. But as you can hear, I'm starting to lose my voice again. That's from coughing up, I'm going to guess, half of what's in the New Jersey swamps. But that'll do it for this episode. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.